Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board with us today as we face the issues. We'll be dealing with a wonderful subject today, an eschatological truth, a biblical study in relationship to end times, things to come. There are a lot of folks that are looking at what's taking place in society today and pointing to Scripture and identifying it. Well, that's partially truthful, and that's partially illegitimate, biblically speaking. We're going to be talking about today the four horsemen of the apocalypse. The four horsemen of the apocalypse. May I remind you that's a biblical text. It's found in Revelation, the 6th chapter. If you're not driving, if you're seated, then take out your Bible to Revelation chapter 6. We'll be looking at the first several verses. And the attempt today is to correct a wrong thinking, a theological misnomer, is to correct what is being perpetrated today as truth, but it is not in alignment with the eschatological truth of the Scripture. You see, there's a major element of Scripture that must be understood, and that is when you look at the book of the Revelation, you need to see it chronologically as to what is being said. There are a lot of folks that have theology that is all mixed up, messed up, because they do not have the right hermeneutic. The word hermeneutic is the art and science of biblical interpretation. And a text out of context is a pretext and should never be used for a text, I've said for some 50-some-odd years now. But we're going to be looking at that in a moment to try to get you on the right track with theological, doctrinal, biblical thinking. A lot of folks are confused. A lot of people are looking at the events of the day across the world, and they're misinterpreting that biblically speaking. Yes, all of the events we're seeing, including the coronavirus, are indications of and harbingers of those things that shall come to pass. But we need to understand them in the right context. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, when we look at the issues and we face them, we do so based on the truth of the Word of God. May I commend to you God's Word, the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. No better source book to go to for direction in life, especially in the confusing era in which we're living. It's a book of truth. Jesus said to his disciples in John 8:31-32, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am truth." And to give us a further understanding of truth, Jesus says, "I am truth." And then Jesus said in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." Let me just give you a little tidbit of information in relationship to that. From Genesis 1:1 through Genesis 20 through Revelation 22, the Word of God, Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh, God incarnate. So you don't need a red letter edition to figure out what Jesus said. If Jesus is God, and he is, and if the Bible is the revealed Word of God, then from Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22 is the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't have to be in red for us to understand that. And Jesus says, "I am truth." And then he says, "Thy word is truth." So we're talking about the centrality of the Word of God. It is truth. When we think about truth today, a lot of folks do not want to hear truth talkers or truth sayers. It was George Orwell a number of years ago that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And I find that to be factual more so every day in the world in which we're living in. It's the statement of Jan Hus, the 15th century church reformer and theologian, that made this statement. Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. I pray that would be your mantra, that that would be your mindset, that that would become your mandate in life, is to seek the truth and listen to the truth, learn the truth and love the truth and tell the truth, live the truth, and stand and defend the truth even to death. And ladies and gentlemen, let me simply say this. I believe that there will be a day in the future when an individual that will stand and tell the truth will be martyred for his faith. Yes, that will be after the rapture of the church, but we're watching the precursor of that in our society today. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape and lawn care business. Tools for Time carries equipment, a full line of equipment, ladies and gentlemen, for homeowners with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries a full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with brands like Honda Generators, with a full knowledgeable staff that can answer all your questions about the power equipment for landscape lawn care, as well as the hurricane preparedness backup equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you ask, where is that located? It's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Find the gigantic flag, U.S. flag flowing, about 165 foot in the air. Right at the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, the telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Encourage your calls today. Theological, doctrinal, biblical questions are open and available for you to just ring that number. That telephone number gets you directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your question, a comment, your dialogue, and your insight. Perhaps you've been confused about what's called the four horsemen of the apocalypse. The four horsemen of the apocalypse. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't take a highly trained theologian to recognize that we're living in very unusual days. You can wake up in the morning and recognize that. You can turn on the news and realize that we're in a very, very unusual position in America and around the globe. Just about anyone that speaks to you about current events will admit that the days that we're living in are extraordinary. It doesn't take a genius to recognize that we're living in unusual, extraordinary days. Just think of some of the very unusual happenings. And now, this is not meant to be a full, extensive overview of the things that are happening, but I want to give a cursory overview to get to the point of the subject that we're dealing with today, and looking at Revelation, the sixth chapter, the first several verses, where you find what is generally theologically, doctrinally referred to as the four horsemen of the apocalypse. But I want us to understand, in kind of a big, broad brush of things that are taking place today, that will indicate that we are in the last of the last days. For example, just yesterday, another strong earthquake hit Nevada. Several recent months, we found in earthquakes taking place in the West Coast and the Midwest and all the way out through California. Yes, we are warned in the book of Matthew, the 24th chapter, Matthew's Gospel, the 24th chapter, the 7th verse, that there are going to be earthquakes, and there are going to be pestilences and famines and difficulties. But the Scripture says it's only the beginning of the end. It's not the end, it's the beginning of the end. We're seeing the foreshadowing, the precursor. Then we've all seen the news reels of hailstones, some the size of baseballs, and the world has experienced major floods in recent years, and they've seen increase and more devastating in those floods and the increasing numbers of them with the strange weather. And it's not Mother Earth, and it's not talking about when you weather it, turn on, watch the weatherman. It's not Mother Earth. It's talking about Father God. It's God that's in control of all of these things that are taking place. We're witnessing, ladies and gentlemen, the very serious increase in pestilences. That word pestilence is found in Matthew 7, 24 and verse 7. Simply is talking about diseases. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the coronavirus known as COVID-19, that's one of the diseases, the pestilences. It's just one of them that we see spoken of in the scripture, but they're going to increase in numbers in the last days. We ought not to be surprised by it, especially as Christians. We need to understand that in the last days, these things shall be increasingly prevalent in the world in which we're living. The Bible also warns us, ladies and gentlemen, there'll be wars and rumors of wars. Yes, you can put your finger, you can take a globe, spin that globe, close your eyes, put your finger on any place on that globe, and there will be a place where there's wars or rumors of wars. That word rumors means rumblings of wars. God's word is very simply warning us that time is running out, that the time is very close. We also see, ladies and gentlemen, some very frightening and spine-chilling new creatures that seem to be becoming more and more prevalent, like the swarms of locusts. In fact, you can go to the book of Revelation and look at the 9th chapter, verses 1, 2, and 3, and you find it talking about locusts in those days, but it's during the days of the tribulation. But we're seeing, ladies and gentlemen, the foreshadowing, the precursor, the stage being set. These swarms of locusts that literally when they come in, denude anything that's green, wipe out any green trees, green grass. And the new warnings today and recently, ladies and gentlemen, about the killer hornet that is about 2 inches long and it has a deadly sting. Just today's news, ladies and gentlemen, it talked about a very deadly lizard that has been discovered up in Georgia. And it talks about the title of the article says, invasive tigress lizard should be shot on sight. It's seen in Georgia, according to the wildlife group. And it's an invasion from Argentina, we're told, according to the article that's written on that subject. Ladies and gentlemen, what we're talking about is we're looking at the foreshadowing as we see these things that ought not to frighten us, ought not to worry us, ought not to cause anxiety. But for the child of God, we need to rejoice in the realization that God's at work. His word is leaping off the pages of the word of God and fulfilling what God has said of things to come. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go over to the question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, thank you. I'm listening to you via the internet at ilovethetruth.com. I'm actually in Georgia. I haven't seen any of those lizards yet, but I'll keep my eye out. I would like to tap into your wisdom for a moment. I do believe that the Lord is really working through you, not only in your ministry with your educational thing and your church, but with this broadcast, so thank you for that. I'm facing a situation that I need some wisdom on and wanted to ask your opinion. On May the 20th, this Wednesday, we will be meeting for the first time as a Southern Baptist church, actually the admin committee and the deacons, and I'm a deacon. And I wanted to know how, I know your church has not closed down during this COVID thing, and thank you for that. You know, God's word is very precious to me, and he desires obedience rather than sacrifice. And I know that when this thing came on us early on, a lot of us thought instead of going to the word, and a lot of us thought we were doing the right thing by using our brain instead of reading God's word and doing what it says without regard to our thoughts. And I need to know how to properly say this to our pastor without getting out from under authority. I love your wisdom on that.
Thank you so much. It's very interesting insight that you already have on the subject. I've always said this. I believe that we need to recognize that the Word of God is the first, foremost, and final authority. Yes, across the nation, churches close like turning a light switch off rather than standing on the Word of God. God has given us, not given us a spirit of fear in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, the Scripture says. We need to understand that we need to seek God's wisdom. God's wisdom is from above, and the Word of God in I believe it is in James chapter 3 and verse 15, left page, left column in my Bible. It says that the earthly wisdom is earthly, sensual, and demonic, devilish, the King James text calls it. That means demonic. And yes, I believe that we need to stand on the Word of God. In fact, right now, speaking of the churches being closed, even in California, churches have decided that we've been deceived and duped, and 3,000 of them have banded together, and they're saying, we're not closing. We're not staying closed. We're opening up. And I would have thought just 6 months ago, if you'd said, could the government simply say close the churches and that pastors would close the churches, I would have said that there would be something wrong with that statement. But the bottom line is that we need to understand when it comes to the church and it's being closed, is that God's word needs to continue to go forth. We do not need to buckle a bow or bend. And what they're finding, for example, if I can ramble for a moment, in the state of Wisconsin, the people decided that we're not going to stay sequestered anymore. We're not going to stay quarantined. We're not going to stay locked up in our homes. We're going to do something about it. They filed suit. And the Supreme Court of the state of Wisconsin said, and listen very carefully, said that the rules and regulations, I'm calling them that, the guidelines from the governor, are simply suggestions. They're not laws. And therefore, there's no law that says the church or the businesses must stay closed. So all of Wisconsin, overnight, the switch was turned back on. All of the churches and all the businesses operating as they should have continued to do. You see, law comes by legislators, the House and the Senate in any state, banding about a bill, debating it, having it in committees and subcommittees, and then ultimately it goes on the floor, it's voted on. If it is passed, it is signed by the governor, and it becomes law. Other than that, it's just simply a suggestion. And with these suggestions, these governors and mayors have thought that somehow, some way, they're gods, and that we're simply the subjects. And as a result of that, they've tried to enforce them. And these rules and regulations that are off the tip of the tongue of these governors and mayors are simply suggestions. And I've said for 8 weeks now or better on this broadcast that we're not under any legal obligation to bow and bend, especially if it concerns our Constitution and the right to assemble and to proclaim the truth of the Word of God. So I would say sit with the pastor, have prayer with him, not, and again, as you said, not coming out from under his authority, but simply going on a question basis. Pastor, how do we respond to this? How should we view this? How should we recognize the coupling of the Word of God and the command to preach the Word and what the Bill of Rights gives us with the right to worship without any infringement or any undermining of that? So that's a good question. I believe that I would handle it on that basis, and I believe God would reward you and honor you for your honesty and integrity and wanting to stand on the Word of God. So keep on keeping on, and God bless you for that call.
Thank you, brother. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about, just as our caller just mentioned a moment ago, we're talking about getting back to the truth of the Word of God and finding it as the fundamental foundation and the foremost in what we do and say ought to be on the basis of what God's Word says and not what man says. When it comes down to eschatological truth, that means prophecy, the looking at the future events, we need to understand what God's Word is saying to us and how we need to interpret it. Ladies and gentlemen, the news today about those things that are taking place, especially when it comes to the churches being closed and what is taking place there, it's a foreshadowing, ladies and gentlemen, of things to come in relationship to the hatred and the animosity and the vengefulness against God and God's people and the church of God. We need not forget that the Bible warns us, ladies and gentlemen, that in the last days there will be a major, major increase in Christian persecution and prosecution. Today's government forced the closings of the churches across America is not just unusual, it is prophetic. Remember, Jesus warned us that in the world, if the world hates you, know ye first that it hated me before it hated you. John chapter 15, verse 18. And we know, ladies and gentlemen, that according to Revelation chapter 6 through 18, that we find in the last days, the tribulation is going to take place. And in the days of the tribulation, ladies and gentlemen, anyone that's identifying as a Christian will be openly persecuted, prosecuted, and martyred for his or her faith. And that's what we need to understand. We're not seeing, and we're not saying right now, ladies and gentlemen, that the coronavirus, we're not saying that because the churches have been forced to be closed and pastors never should have done so. And across the nation, pastors are waking up, smelling the coffee, as I call it, and realizing that they have been duped into closing the churches. And I believe it's the foreshadowing. It is the test run to determine what crisis will be next. What can come up next that the government can say then, you closed before, you close now, you're going to close for this period of time. Ladies and gentlemen, they started out, everything needs to be closed for 14 to 15 days. Then it grew into 30 days. Then it was 45 days. Then it was 60 days. State of California is now saying that they're not going to open anything until the end of September. But Elon Musk with Tesla Automobile said, okay, you're going to stay closed. I'm moving to Texas. And overnight, they decided that Elon Musk could open his manufacturing plant and continue to manufacture Tesla automobiles because of the billions upon billions of dollars that he pours into the economy there. More and more of the people in California saying they're going to move to Texas or Florida as a result of what is taking place. But the bottom line is, ladies and gentlemen, we're watching, and that's what we're talking about today, eschatological truth. We're talking about the four horsemen of the apocalypse. We'll look at that text in a moment and exegete it for our understanding of what is right and proper in the analysis of the biblical text. But ladies and gentlemen, today we're watching a stage rehearsal, a dress rehearsal, a precursor to what's going to happen in the future. Let me just give you a little brief chronology of the eschatological events. The next thing on the calendar of God is the rapture of the church. There are no signs to be seen. There are no signs that's in the scripture for the rapture of the church to take place. The rapture of the church is what is referred to, theologically speaking, as imminent. That is, it could take place at any moment, at any second. It could take place before I finish the next sentence. It could take place before the close of the day. There's not a sign. When we look at the signs in the scripture, generally speaking, they're talking about the signs of the second coming. The second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the signs of the second coming are filled in the scripture. They proliferate in the scripture, eschatologically speaking, the signs of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Next thing on the calendar of God is the rapture, the sudden seizure, the snatching away of the bride of Christ. Now listen, if you're sitting there, you're driving, and you say, the Bible doesn't talk about the rapture, that's your prerogative to debate and deny it if you want to. It is the word sudden seizure or snatching away. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18 talks about the snatching away. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. Snatching away is the word in the Latin text. It's the word rapturus, and that simply means rapture. We translate it in the English text as rapture. So the rapture is going to take place. And then after the rapture, ladies and gentlemen, the man of sin, the Antichrist, will step on the scene. That's one of the things we see in the four horsemen of the apocalypse. The first rider is the Antichrist stepping on to the scene. We'll talk about that in a moment. But after the rapture of the church is the standing up of the Antichrist. It's the standing up of the global system, the one world system. And that's what is being sought after now by Bill Gates and his desire to vaccinate 7 billion people on the face of the globe. That's the goal for George Soros, is a global economy, a global one world government. And that ultimately will be that which will be embraced in the days of the tribulation, will be that one world government, that global governance, where powerful people will stand in control. And the main one will be the Antichrist that will control every human being on the face of the globe. And ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you ask the question, how is that so? Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we're watching because the coronavirus, we're watching some of the stage being set. We're watching some of the players being put in place. We're watching some of the, if you please, the activities and the implementation of those things that shall be in full-fledged, in full force during the days of the tribulation. For example, via the drones and surveillance of planes, every human being is being watched today. China already has a mate. They have 1.4 billion people. They have about 300 million, that's right, not 300, 300 million surveillance cameras in the nation of China, watching 1.4 billion people. And we're finding now, because the coronavirus and the desire to keep people socially separated, and by the way, I'm a little fed up with hearing the term. I'm a little disgusted with the term social separation. I'm a little disgusted with the fact and angered by the fact that we have governmental agencies in America, governors and mayors, that are using drones to surveil people. In fact, some 22 states with some 43 law enforcement agencies in America today using Chinese-made drones, and we already know that the Chinese drones have chips in it, that China can watch anything that that drone camera is watching, and yet they're being flown over cities and municipalities across America today. And the latest was in the morning news on Internet News, says surveillance plane starts flying over Baltimore, recording everyone's movements. Controversial area surveillance planes in Baltimore police started flying Friday, recording movements of everyone in the city during the day. It's called the Aerial Investigation Research, AIR, pilot program, and it's operated by an Ohio-based company, and it's paid for by a billionaire in Texas. goes on to talk about the images will be stored for up to 45 days. And the further the article says, it's the most comprehensive surveillance set into place ever imposed on an American city in the history of the United States of America. Yes, we're talking about setting the stage and setting the scene for the last of the last days. Now, I'm not saying, ladies and gentlemen, that we end the days of the tribulation. Some are using that term. You find those that are not dispensationalist, and those that are not dispensationalist, they say that there will not be a thousand-year millennial reign. That's a millennial reign of Christ upon the earth that is reigning in heaven now. They will tell you that the difficulties and the dangers of the devastation we're faced with today is the tribulation and that we're in the tribulation. Seventh-day Adventists believe that you're in the tribulation. The Jehovah's Witnesses believe that part of the tribulation is taking place today. Ladies and gentlemen, that is not so. The word tribulation is word thlipsis. The word thlipsis means danger, devastation, and pressure, and problems and difficulties as the world has never seen before, according to Joel chapter 2, verse 28 and following. But may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, we're watching these things take place, which is setting the stage for what shall take place in the future. In fact, through what is called contact tracing, we're setting the stage for the tools, the implementation of the tools that the Antichrist will use when he steps on the scene. Here's an article that says New York will hire contact tracing army of 17,000 people to battle the coronavirus, according to Governor Cuomo. He said Thursday in a press conference the state will hire thousands upon thousands of contact tracers who notify people who've been exposed to COVID-19 as part of the SIP system being developed to help the state return to everyday life. Cuomo said New York is creating a contact tracing playbook that will be shared by other states across the nation. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the things that you and I can see. And I can drill deeper and go into each and every one of these in great depth and great explanation of it. But I'm doing an overview for us to understand where we're going when we get to chapter 6 in the book of the Revelation with the four horsemen of the apocalypse. We're also seeing, ladies and gentlemen, the snitch system. That is the brown shirt system of the 40s, the mid-40s of Adolf Hitler, where the brown shirt system was set up in that day, where they would simply snitch on the neighbor, call a special number, and report their neighbor. That's being used as I speak in China today, where they have the social system that you get points, as I would call it. You get special credits if you tell on your neighbor, if you tell on your friends, if you tell on your family. Families that study the Bible and love the Lord Jesus Christ have been imprisoned in China in recent days, simply because of a family member reporting them to the governmental authorities in China and letting them know that they have Bibles or prayer books or Christian reading material. We're talking about the fact, ladies and gentlemen, that the orders have been given to hide in the home, to sequester in the home. Attorney General Bill Barr said they're hiding under the bed. I've said it many times today, pastors or Christians even are hiding in the closet or hiding under the bed. We need to come out, stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen. But we're talking about some of these things that we're seeing eschatologically speaking that shows us that we're in the last of the last days. And the next thing on the calendar of God is the snatching away of the bride of Christ. Then there's the coming one day, the forced vaccinations. Bill Gates, right as we speak at this very moment, has a goal of reducing the number of people on the planet by a minimum of 100 million. You go and check, if you please, on the internet. You'll find that his vaccinations have either sterilized hundreds of thousands of people or slaughtered thousands of people in India and other parts of the African continent, ladies and gentlemen, as a result of his so-called vaccine. And yet he's the one that's standing in this background, on the horizon, waiting to introduce his vaccine that will have the chip in it that will be utilized by the Antichrist to trace every human being on the face of the globe. May I say, ladies and gentlemen, there are many, many other signs pointing to the wrap-up of this old world in the last days in which we're living in. But may I remind you, ladies and gentlemen, we must be extremely careful of just taking the scripture out of context and making it sound like something that is biblical when it's not biblically correct. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a one-minute break at the top of the hour for our news. After the break, we're coming back. We're going to look at the four horsemen of the apocalypse.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.